y'all. So we are back. It is the last episode of the season, and as promised, we're gonna get a little bit deeper. We gave you a little intro to how to talk to your partner, you know, what are some common questions. But now I wanna know, how or when do you remember when you were first introduced to kink?
Hola, everybody. This is Lucilania.
Hey, what's up? This is Steph coming at you live.
And this is Sex and Sensuality for the Churchy podcast.
Whether the idea of it or, you know, maybe some kinky acts, what's your earliest memory of being introduced to kink?
Wow. I introduced to kink. Probably like a teenager. Like, I was probably like 16, 17. Because, you know, back then it was like, we had magazines.
Oh. What were in these magazines, sir? What was in these magazines? Kids these days be like, what?
They're like, what? Well, I think a lot of, to be honest with you, a lot of it was leather. Like, I just remember people being leather. just you know, leather and, like, you know, like, because when you think about these magazines, you're thinking, people just gonna be naked, right? Yeah. They're just gonna be naked, and that's it. That's what you're hoping for. And you're like, why does he have like a flog in his head, or like, what's that paddle in his head, or like, why is he, or like, there's a contraption, right? They're like in a contraption. You're like, well, I don't understand this. Like, I was just looking for a certain picture. So I think that was when I was like, these are a little different than these other editions. That I've seen. They look a little, and then I think as I got older, you get exposed to other videos, right? And you're like, whoa, like, I don't even know where I am right now. Like, somebody thought of this? Like, you know, I think for me, it always felt more like theatrical. Like, there was just like all these, you know, extra things that you're dealing with and extra people, and it was like, yo, people really got creative in these things. Like, I'm thinking I'm just going to pull up a video and it's going to be like, you know, the normal.
Fake conversation.
Oh my gosh, we're thinking, and, you know, stuff is happening. No, this is like, oh, this is what I'm interested into. And, you know, then it's like, you know what it is? I remember just the dialogue. The dialogue is much different. Like, there's this extra innuendos that you're just
are like, you rubbing your nipples? Why I look like you rubbing your nipples?
for those. that's a subconscious. Yeah, so that was, yeah, early teenager. Yeah, I was like, yo, this stuff looks a little dungeony, like, there's a lot of role play.
For me, I would say, like, I wouldn't have called it kink, but I remember being a kid and like hearing things like anything outside of like married sex, and, you know, like, oh, be careful with those degenerates that are doing all these things, but no one ever called it kink. On a more practical, like, realistic, like, this is what it is level, it was, I don't even remember how I found this website, but I'm in there. I like it. And so, as opposed to watching porn, I would read there's a website called Literotica.
People
just submit their story. Yeah. Oh. And that's good.
Yo.
All kind of topic and whatever, and people get to vote, so you get to see the ones that are voted out the most. And so reading about it and on Literotica was like, but, and also it was like my opening my mind. And because I'm starting to be like, oh, I'm like turned on by this. And so then with one of my ex-boyfriends, when we started swinging and going to, you know, swinger parties and swinger clubs and actually starting to act out some of those kinky fantasies. But in that experience is also where I learned that I was not engaging in kink in the safest ways, because we negotiated and he quickly broke every single thing that we negotiated that we said we would not do. And I did not have the agency that I have now to be like, okay, yeah, like this is over. Like, we agreed to not do these things and you did it, and so we're done. But you know, so now it's about like learning to engage in kink in ways that are honorable to me, and only with people who would honor me by not taking advantage of my trust.
Yeah. And there's a certain, for me, I would have to say that when it actually like started to not just be what I saw on TV, you know, on these video on website porn sites or whatever case may be, I think it was actually when I actually started talking to people, like people who actually like have like, you know, experience kink in their lives as a lifestyle, like actually, because you know, I'm like, hey, to be honest with you, I don't even know how the conversation even starts. But somehow some way we're talking about this stuff, and I just it was just intriguing to me that people could be so vulnerable, right? They could be so vulnerable and try these things and not feel like, man, like I'm an idiot for trying this. Mm-hmm. Or even conceiving to someone like this is something that I'm interested in, no matter, you know, whatever that is. And I think I had to get around the idea of, just because it's not something that I could see myself doing doesn't necessarily mean that somebody else cannot see themselves as well. Like, you know, for everything that may be a turnoff for me could be a complete turn on for someone else. But I think that's the part that, again, individualizes the experience. But yeah, I think I was traumatized. I'm not gonna say I was traumatized, but I think I was, you know, the traditional ideas of whatever kink would have been, like YMCA, you know, like anything different outside of, you know, like you said, what we considered vanilla sex or whatever, mm-hmm. that is for people. The good thing for me, it was never scary. Right. It was always like, wow, I wonder what that's like, or oh, I wonder what this would be. And even now, slowly but surely, like I've been trying to figure out ways to kind of incorporate more of that into my own life, because I'm like, yo, these people are really having a good old time doing all these, trying all these different things out. And you're like, you know what, maybe I might like this. But you have to be secure enough within yourself to be able to do that. And, you know, some people, I can imagine some guys even may not, you know, have a hard time saying like, yo, I really like not being in a dominant position, right?
Because like the idea to think that men are all automatically the ones that are the doms, and there are some, but
there's some.
I have definitely met some like they are happily to be submissive to a woman.
Happily, like
I mean. I can't remember her name, but there's a black woman, beautiful. She's a financial dominatrix. These men literally pay her to humiliate them, and she's having this interview while she has a man on his all fours, connected to a chain, and he is happily just sitting there like a dog. And they give her money to do that, and I'm just like.
No. Did you pick the wrong profession?
And these are all, and I think she says most of them, if not all of them, are white men. So that's like her way of getting reparations. But I think even with the idea, like, you know, getting that bad, but it's also about like, I know a lot of black women, because we are constantly told that, you know, we're so masculine that want to be submissive, and not just submissive in life, but literally submissive in these ways. And it's such a freeing thing. And for me, like that's what I want to experience, is to trust someone so much that I get to be a little bit of a good girl / brat, and you tell me what to do, but I push against you, and then you put me on your knee and you spank me.
Take notes, brothers.
But you know, which gets into the next question. What are some kinky activities you've tried or wanted to try? And how did you know that you wanted to try it?
Wow. That one definitely opens up a whole I would probably want to try some of like the what was it the some of like the pain, like
impact play.
Yeah, impact play. Yeah. I think you know, just don't knock me out. But it's just a different sensation. Like I've had moments when like I'm like, ooh, I like that. Like, you know, and it's I think what the interesting thing about it for me when it comes to pain, and my wife will say this all the time, is that I have like, you know, a good pain threshold. But I think that with having sometimes a high pain threshold, I don't necessarily always like appreciate it for the sensation that it is, right? And then being able to tie that sensation to a specific moment that like mm-hmm. I enjoy this because of, you know, it's from who it's coming from and in the way that I want it. Oh man, it's no longer I don't think my mind centralizes as pain. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a different form of pleasure. So yeah, definitely some of that. Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't mind dressing up. I would definitely do cosplay all day, every day. ain't gonna lie.
I have a drawer full of costumes and outfits and all of that.
I know, right?
Because unfortunately, like, there's so much trust for me that is needed there. And
oh yeah,
everybody has proven that they can that I can trust them with that. Especially, I mean, not just especially, but for me especially, because like I absolutely and I was kind of taken aback that I wanted to be like the bratty good girl kind of princess kind of kink. I don't know why I was, but I was. And the way that I realized it was because of good old Kink Talk. And watching these videos and being like, oh man, I don't want to do that. I like that. Gets me warm fuzzies. That I'm not, you know, the idea like that in some instances I would love to just hand over everything to him.
That
will come from that.
That is,
and then so in some weird instances, I'm gonna have a smart mouth, and you're not gonna just take it. You're gonna like there will be consequences. Oh,
there's consequences. It's reprimanding, like,
and that's where like the impact play would come in, because mm-hmm. like I had my most recent ex, like, and this was the first time I had anybody do that, was like the hot wax.
Ooh,
and it was like. Like that, ooh, but it just felt so good. But even, you know, like flutters and paddles. And I think part of me thinks is because I don't have the trauma of ever getting beat as a child.
Oh.
I've never been spanked as a child. But I do love being spanked in the act. And so, yeah.
That's interesting.
Right? But, yeah, you know, so it's, you know, a combination of seeing things for me and be like, but it's, you know, reading and but just like when I see stuff or I read something and I get that little tingly feeling at the bottom of my coochie, and be like, this might be something that I want to try.
Well, you're, and again, there's so many opportunities for different sensations to be enhanced, right? Than normal. Right. And I think that's the part that, you know, it's almost kind of like in some cases like overload, sensory overload. But it's very like structured in a way, because you know what to expect. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're going to hit me over the head and I just have no idea that's going to happen. But again, like you said, keyword trust. Right. You have to have, I mean, the level of trust that I even have to have with my wife to be able to say, like, listen, you got a heavy hand. I ain't trying to.
I see.
But it's still, I know, it still like makes me go back to the idea of, all right, like, we're going to talk about this. And on the flip end, I think it just pushes, like, as you get, as I think about it more for myself, it keeps creating more curiosity about my wife, like, oh, she's into, like, you know, like, I think that it forces kind of that now there are some people who are just like, screw it, I like what I like, and then that's it, and you're gonna just do what I tell you, or I'll do whatever you tell me. But once again, that's the spectrum of kink, right? Like, but there are some fundamental things that have to be in play, like you keep saying, in order for it to work. Otherwise, it just becomes like an abusive, you know, absolutely, session.
You can be very abusive if you're not careful.
And that's the one thing we don't want people doing out here, is like hurting each other out, because mm-hmm. they want to explore something without, like you said, going into some of the more necessary elements, which communication, consent, can't say those words enough. I think even the idea of consent is interesting, because you to really not assume, you're not assuming anything. Right? Like, anything. Not at all.
Even in the moment, even because, like, in some, so like I want, like, you can just engage in different scenes. I am exploring the idea of having a kink relationship. But in either one, there, in some settings, like, you'll actually have a contract where that negotiation will happen.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
it will get written down in a contract, which can always change. But, you know, but even with that contract, like, they're still coming to you in that moment and saying, is this okay? And they're going to warm you up, you know, even if they're doing impact play, like, I've, you know, to watch people do impact play with, like, floggers, that, yeah, they're flogging your ass, but in between each one, they're also rubbing on it and asking you, how does that uh-huh. feel? And does this feel good? And so it's, you know, unless you are saying, I don't want that, but uh-huh. most of the time that's what they're doing. And they're checking in and saying, can I go harder? Or, you know, or do you want me to use something else? And it's either like, no or yes. And you know, and it's, so even in that, it's like you've had your pre-negotiation, but again, the negotiation is still ongoing. And then understanding that in and of itself is building trust, because you're showing me how much care you're putting into my experience by not just being like, oh, well, she said she good. So, and be like, sir, that's not. But, you know, again, unless I'm telling you that's what I want, because some people, like I said earlier with the financial dominatrix, they pay her to be humiliated. So unless that's what you're actually looking for and looking for that humiliation, then no, you shouldn't be getting humiliated in your scenes, in your relationship, kink or otherwise.
Yeah.
That there's, the consent is ongoing and the negotiation is ongoing, and the pleasure because of those things is ongoing.
So for you, what is, as much as it's, I mean, it definitely, I know you well enough to know that how much you've put a lot of thought into this, and still continue to put a lot of thought into this. What is the thing that actually, like, makes you not necessarily cringe, but makes you kind of step back when it comes to kink? Like, as open as you are to the whole experience, and you know these things that you like, and then there's like, and it doesn't have to be necessarily a certain type of kink per se, but mm-hmm. what are you most afraid of? I think going into it.
What I'm most afraid of is not picking the right person and giving my trust to the wrong person. And that, you know, it's like, at any point in time, like, are they pretending just to gain my trust? And then the mm-hmm. moment that I actually give it to them, the other shoe drops. And have I healed enough to trust myself that if that were to happen, that I wouldn't feel like, oh, well, I'm too far in. This is my fault, or, you know, I shouldn't have. That's what scares me. That it's like, as much as I want this and I want to engage in this, could I really truly trust them? Mm-hmm. And more importantly, because I honestly believe and know that trusting other people is really just an extension of yourself. So can I really trust them from the foundation of, do I really trust myself to do this and to keep myself safe, especially because I desire to be able to submit to them and so knowing that, like, I mean, people that I talk to is like, look, if you know anything, people think that the doms are the one that hold the power. But if you're doing it right, the doms are not the ones that hold the power. The submissive is, because at any point in time, they can say, I don't stop. But as much as I, as the submissive, hold the power, I have to trust that they're going to respect and honor me to stop. And honor the agreements that we've had, because as I mentioned earlier, I've already had someone that didn't, and I felt so much shame that around it that I was like, oh well, this is my fault because I agreed to this, and what did I think that he was? Why did I really think that was going to happen? That he was going, you know? And who do you go to say like this? Because then they're going to look at you crazy because it's kink, this is taboo. Like this is why you shouldn't be doing this stuff in the first place. As if vanilla bamas don't cheat and don't, you know, like, but that's what you're gonna get anyway.
Well, there's definitely there's a lot in your statement, especially with the fact of both trusting yourself, trusting someone else, and then even like the it almost sounds like the blind slate of consent, right? So I consent for this. Doesn't necessarily mean I consent for everything, right? And that could be taken advantage of. And next thing you know, you're like, who knows? But the good thing is that we got a lot of eligible bachelors out there who've been taking notes. So y'all been taking notes all season.
I'm giving all kind of gems and the key. I'm giving all kind of keys and still they're not using all these gems that I've given.
I mean at this point, oh yeah, you might as well just flash your number at the bottom.
Like, look, I don't want a whole lot. I just want everything. That's it. I just want everything. I deserve just it. Everything. Just everything. And here's the thing, and you can attest to this, although I'm sure they'll say that you're biased. I want everything, and I give everything too. You wouldn't be disappointed. But because of that, I'm learning to not settle, because I know what I offer, and I'm not about to prove that to anybody. Because you'll get it if you give it.
So that's for all those who done messed up in the game. Okay, you know who you are.
Not you sending out APBs, nigga.
You know who you are. And yeah, like, it doesn't get any. But there's a certain level. I just can't help myself because I do know who you. I do know who you are.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Sorry. Sidebar. But anyway, I think that's the fun part about sexuality and sex and kink and all that. It's fun when you get to like it. It's a. There's something to be said about the if you allow yourself to be free. Right, and allow yourself to put down your taboos or your whatever it is that kind of holds you back, and just kind of like, and so I laugh about this stuff, but it's, to me, it's not really laughing about it as much as there's just a certain level of freedom of just saying, you know what, this is not the most serious of topic that it needs to be. Like, this is something that you get to enjoy with someone and have fun, or even fun with yourself. Like, I mean, listen, there are a lot of options out there. Amazon. That's why stuff is set in boxes. So nobody knows. So, you know, if you're scared about, you know, discretionary things coming through, listen, it's out there.
I was on I'm actually strongly considering, I don't need no other project, but I'm strongly considering becoming a bedroom candy consultant, because she got some dope stuff over there. She got some dope, dope stuff. And I mean, I talk about sex enough, so I probably should just become a consultant and sell bedroom candy. Let me know. If y'all want me to start selling bedroom candy and, you know, I can start throwing parties, let me know if you're interested.
Just make sure you ain't doing no deliveries.
Do some nice demonstrations, some live demonstrations, okay?
Yo,
That sounded like OnlyFans content, and I'm open, but I don't know if I'm that open.
No, people, listen, OnlyFans has revolutionized people's lives here, okay? I don't care what nobody say. There are people who have changed their life, okay, off OnlyFans.
I mean, and to plug the YouTube channel, the closest that you're probably going to get to OnlyFans is the meditation that I dropped on the channel a couple days ago on self-pleasure. And so if you haven't gone to see it,
check that out.
You should go see it. And, you know, maybe when I get 100 likes, I'll drop another one. So tell a friend to tell a friend. So I really enjoy doing it. And you can imagine what I was doing below the camera level.
See, I'm telling you, like, these people don't understand what they're getting here. Okay? Y'all better take advantage. This is why you like listening to us. You just never know what you're going to get. But... Yeah, I can't even.
What pushbacks or what would hold you back from in regards to kink?
Honestly, I think it would just be. I think time, like, just not make it. You know, like this thing that I, you know, I want, like an activity, like a habit, like a hobby. Like maybe when the perfect time comes, we'll try. Like, no, let's just, you know, just do whatever. Like, I think that's for me the biggest thing is time. Like, not I struggle sometimes with living in the moment and also planning for those moments, right? So I think, you know, I could have that conversation. I could, you know, buy the stuff, whatever case may be, and yet something will come up, and then that, and then the priority, that's what it is, the priority of it in my life would be the thing that would be the difficulty, not so much the ability to do it, but just like, well, this is important to me.
Then you have to be intentional.
Yes, and I'm not always intentional like that. I ain't gonna lie, I'm not always intentional. I need to be more intentional, but I'm not, and so I know that would has gotten in the way sometimes with even certain other things. I'm like, yeah, you know, like you really had the chance here and you like did not take it. And that's on me, because either I let fear kick in or, you know, rejection, right? Because that's another element too. Like, you know, I start saying like, yeah, I like this and I get rejected for it. Then it's like, well, maybe, you know, I may not want to open up again, right? Because it is so, so personal. But you know, I will say that getting, I think the thing that I know I need the most is feeling like I'm part of a bigger community, because community is so important, not just in like your work life, your social life, but even in your sex life. Like, the, you know, there are communities of people who are experiencing and sharing the things that they're going through and experiencing in their own sexual healing, sexual journey. And why pretend like nobody wants to talk about this stuff? And it's like, we don't know the answers, you know, like.
And you know, as a single unmarried woman, I think that was one of the things that I was actually surprised about in talking to other married friends. Cause I don't, you know, I think it's just a quiet assumption, but to think that I'm like, even married people ain't talking about this. They not talk, you know, because it's a really vulnerable thing. And, you know, and I don't even think that you have to have these conversations with everybody and get personal in them either. Like, we can talk about sex. No. And you can still have boundaries on whether or not you're going to talk about your sex life with these people. But even just to have general conversations about sex, a lot of people are not happy.
Well, it's you know what? I think, and again, I'm just thinking to myself, I think it's that visual, right? Because we're visual people. And when you learn something about me that's sexual in nature, I can't take that back, right? And even that could be used against me, whether for good or for bad. And unfortunately, it then becomes weaponized as, well, you told me this in confidence, however, somehow it comes out, right? Yeah. And And now I feel even worse for sharing something that I thought in the confidence with someone that, you know, would have kept it to themselves. So I think there's that double-edged sword of, yes, sexuality, sensuality can have very personal elements to it, but then like no one tells us how to then navigate that with people in a way that, like you said, we still have boundaries talking about it. But what happens when the boundaries, I need to kind of not say go beyond the boundaries, but I need to find people, right? I need to be able to investigate with people who I can really trust. Yeah. Because I think that's a whole different level of trust. I mean, it's one thing talking about my finances. That's another talking about my sex life. That's a whole other, I need to do a background check on you. I need to see or I need some state checks, character witnesses. So, I mean, but, you know, again, it starts with a conversation, right? And, you know, I don't know if people realize that when we even talk about it, I've only gotten even to this place in my life because of the conversations we've had and conversations I've had with other people. But you got to start somewhere, mm-hmm. right? And that's the most important thing, is start somewhere knowing that it'll lead you somewhere. Because there's a lot of fun to be had out here. I'm telling you, listen, the stuff that people come up with.
Yeah. And the beauty of it, just like anything else, despite what they're telling you about relationships or otherwise, kink gets to be whatever you and the people engaging in those acts all agree to. And so what I describe, maybe that interests you, maybe it doesn't, maybe it's something completely different, and that is okay. That is valid. Your feelings, yeah. your desires are valid. And if you are looking to have more of these conversations, the great thing is you just watched this episode and the previous episode, and we gave you at least 5 good questions that you can ask to open up the lines of communication, to get to know the people in your life, whether it's going to be people that you're engaging in kink with, or just because you want to, you know, you want to talk about kink and you want to learn from the people that are in your life that you trust, that trust you. And so I hope that, you know, not only us chatting, us friends sharing, taught you something, but that you can also use these questions to broaden your kink horizons, so to speak. And if you are interested in kink, that, you know, you explore the resources that we talked about, look for, you know, events in your city. I know it's probably going to be easier in metropolitan cities, which most of our listeners are in metropolitan cities, than, you know, rural areas. So if you live in outside of those areas, you might got to come to the city if you want to engage in safe ways to learn about kink from people who are even more experienced than we are. Yeah. So as we said when we opened up the show, this is going to be the last episode of the season. Episode 20. Like, we got 20 episodes. We're going to take a summer break. But first, before we go, I have to thank all of you, because we have reached 4,000 downloads for the podcast. 4,000 downloads. I first started it 2021 by myself, and now we have evolved into this thing, and we're going to continue evolving, because when we're going to take a summer break, and I'm going to be outside, so if you haven't subscribed to the channel, make sure you subscribe to the channel, because I'll be posting my blogs and me being outside, so you won't have to miss me for the entire summer. The podcast is just taking a break, and then we're going to come back probably around end of August-ish time, early September, and we're going to start bringing in people to have these conversations with.
Yes.
The sexuality of pastors and deacons and prophets and musicians and therapists and all kinds of people, and probably going to bring back, you know, Sunny D and Dr. LaVon Shaw and other people. So if you want to be on and you want to have these conversations with us, make sure you DM me, send me an email, radian@lucilenia.com. If you have someone that you think would be great and you want to refer them to us, then, you know, send me an email, DM me, text me, call me, however you can reach me. Just let me know, because we're going to be planning that and come back. So make sure you're following me on social media. And of course, make sure you sign up for the mailing list on my website at lucilenia.com, because those people will always get the first notifications of everything that I'm doing. And that is it for this season. So
yes, yes.
Be as radiant as the sun.
Yes, yes.
And good. Come back. How do you want to sign off? Give them some final words before we end the season, Stefan.
Just love yourself and love those around you, and enjoy the beautiful weather that is to come. And we look forward to seeing you again to do this even better. There we go.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.